Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
How are you doing today, Bev?
Doing very well, very well. The sun is shining, and even though it's a little cooler out there, spring is coming.
Oh, yes. Yep. I'm really looking forward to the weekend because it's going to be about 76 degrees here in Joplin, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that's, forward to it. Yeah.
Good Friday and good Easter. And we'll get ready for the Easter Bunny to come to the houses too. And it'll be a beautiful weekend.
Oh, yeah. So you go on Easter egg hunting?
Well, of course.
Okay.
And this is special with the blind people doing Easter egg. We ought to do something like that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it really would be. So happy Easter, everybody. And I hope that you have a real wonderful Easter. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's get to our special guest here on Meet the People of MCB. I've been looking forward to this interview. I know you too, Bev. Let's just bring her on right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce at this time our special guest, Mary Hale. Mary, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Yay.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mary, I know that last Friday during our MCB board office hours, you did a great job talking about some issues, but we want to get to know Mary Hale. So we've got some questions that we're going to be asking you so that the people can get to know you better and get to know you closer and up front. So we've got some really hard questions we're going to be asking you.
I'm worried now.
Yeah. Bev may even ask you, is that your real hair color or something like that? So be prepared. Okay. Well, now, okay. So Mary, tell us a little bit. We know that you're blind. Now, are you totally blind? And share with us, what was the cause or result of your blindness?
Well, let me start off by saying I have Usher's syndrome type 2, which means for me now, because everybody's a little bit different, but for me, I was born with a hearing loss, approximately 50% in both ears. And then in my very late teens, I started having some vision loss due to RP, the retinitis pigmentosis, which is part of the Usher syndrome. Both my vision and my hearing were and are progressive. But they were very slow in the beginning for me, because I was still able to drive and everything for a while. And of course, I held down a full-time job and everything. But as I got older, then the progression kind of changed my life a little bit. I am legally blind now, as I got older. I'm a few months away, or a few moons away, I guess you might say, from being 20. And so I am legally blind. I probably have been for about 20, 25 years. At this point in time, as far as my vision, I can see silhouettes in good lighting. I can see silhouettes of people and trees maybe, but that's about it. I can't see details. In good lighting, I can see contrast, like maybe black versus white. But that's about it. Light perception, of course, so which really helps me at night. And as far as my hearing nowadays, at the beginning I did wear hearing aids, but now I am to the point where I have two cochlear implants. So when I do not have my cochlear implants on, I am totally deaf. So thank goodness for technology.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's really good to know. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. So with your blindness and with your hearing loss, you mentioned the cochlear implants that's helped you to hear a lot better. What kind of things have you been able to do to adjust to your blindness and hearing loss so that you will be able to function?
Wow. Well, I would be totally lost without Zoom text. That is how I read and access so much of my information. I also have a CCTV, which I call my eyes. That is the only way I could read anything on a piece of paper. Otherwise, if you put a piece of paper or an envelope in front of me, I don't see anything. You know, so, and I have to reverse everything so that it's white letters on a black background. If it's quote the normal way, black on white, it looks like a blank sheet of paper to me. So you know, without them, I'd be lost.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. So, Oz, Mary, tell us a little bit about your family. You have brothers, sisters?
No brothers. Two older sisters. The Usher syndrome is hereditary. So my oldest sister also had the Usher syndrome. My middle one, I will not say she's normal, but she did not have the Usher syndrome. and myself. And my older sister and I, well, my older sister passed a couple years ago, but it's like everybody else that I know that has siblings with Usher, there's no two people alike. I mean, the variations of blindness and deafness combination is so fluid within so many people. So many differences.
Okay. So was that generic on your father's side or your mother's side?
Well, they say that with Ushers, both parents have to be carriers. They don't have to have the outward symptom, but they have to be carriers. If just one or the other has it, then you will not get Ushers.
Okay.
So we really don't know how far back, you know, grandparents, great grandparents, you know, they might have had it and never knew it, you know, 100 years
ago. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay. And with your older sister having Usher syndrome as well, were you guys able to help one another?
Oh, no. Oh, that's a wide open question because you have to understand, my older sister was 12 years older than me.
So oh, okay.
By the time she was in her 20s and starting to really experience the vision part of it, you know, I was in my early teens. And my sister and I, total opposite. My sister, and, you know, God bless her, she was the first one to tell you, I can't see, I need help. You know what I mean? I need help. You know, she was a needy person. Whereas, oh my gosh, I grew up and I said, I do not want to be like this. And of course, I was working full time and very independent, very assertive in wanting to, you know, do what I wanted to do. And you know, I worked full time for many, many years and most people didn't even know that I had an issue. I did it so well.
Yeah.
Until I finally embraced it. It took me a while, but I finally embraced it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Bev here in just a second. But my last question I know you were married. So how long were you married?
Oh, my gosh. 50 years. 50. 50 years.
Wow.
And we got married right out of high school.
Yeah.
And, we were lucky to make it that long. And then 4 months later, I'm counting, 4 months later, my husband passed.
Yeah.
So, but you know what? We made it that long. You know,
uh-huh.
Did we have our ups and downs? Of course we did.
Yeah.
But But, you know, but we were just happy knowing that we outlived the people that said that we were never going to make it.
Right.
Way back when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, we were young, and everybody said, oh, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Well, here we were 15 years later.
Wow.
Yeah. And did you and your husband have kids?
Yes. Yes. Well, actually, we had three children. My first child had some health issues, and he passed when he was 9 years old.
Mm.
But then after that, I had two more children, and they are both alive and well and keep me on my toes.
All right. So do they live pretty close by?
Well, my son lives in St. Louis here, and my daughter lives in Dayton, Ohio area.
Uh-huh.
And they both have kids, so, you know, I get to see my grandson here in St. Louis, you know, all the time.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Out in Ohio, yeah, I don't get to see him as often, but you know, I look forward to it whenever I can.
Yeah, yeah. And so how did you and your husband meet?
In high school.
All right, okay,
Yeah, we were in high school. Yeah, to make a long story short, my husband grew up in the St. Louis area. I was born and raised in the Chicago area.
Uh-huh.
And his husband got transferred, his father got transferred up to Chicago area. Oh, well, I think when Mike was in middle school. And so we met in sophomore year in high school. And so then we got married, and then after we got married, I'm going to say another 3 years maybe, his father got transferred back to St. Louis. So the rest of his kids, I mean, the siblings, all grew up in St. Louis. Mike was the oldest. So they, in other words, they married him off to me and then left.
Okay. All right. So I take it he did the right thing and took you to the senior prom, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Senior and junior. Yeah,
well,
we had some good time.
That's good. All right, Bev, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Oh, wow. You have started this conversation where I have come up with questions because of these answers. And Mary, you sound like you've got such a strong, positive personality. And growing up, when you talked about your sister being different than you, I totally understand. I've been told my sister is like total opposite of me too. Mm-hmm. But just how being raised in your family, you know, the strengths that your parents had to help you and your sister get through this. Can you talk about that a little bit? And you understand being a parent now too. You know, the struggles of dealing with not dealing with all children, teenagers, no matter what, you know, but it seems like they really did a terrific job with you.
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that because I grew up in the 50s and the early 60s. So back in those days, you know, they fitted you with one hearing aid and of course, you know, one side. And nowadays we know you need both sides, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went all through school only hearing probably, you know, like 70-75% of what I should have heard. So I missed a lot. And I did not realize it. It wasn't until my husband when he was in the Army and, you know, I was lucky enough to get my second hearing aid for the first time. So for the first time, I was in my 20s before I had two hearing aids.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, I did not realize how much I was missing.
Yeah.
I did not know how much I was missing. So, I mean, I don't blame my parents for that, but it's kind of like now that I'm an adult looking back, I realize how much I missed growing up.
Yeah, yeah. And they probably did what they felt is all they could do, too, you know. And I know, yeah, I grew up about the same time. And just having to get by with what you have to have, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
I
get it. I get it. But, oh, gosh, I wasn't legally blind in public school, but it was after I got a job as a bookkeeper that I started having more problems. But I understand it's difficult getting through school. How did you deal with other students? Did anybody pick on you or?
I think by not hearing as well, and of course I wore what they call a body hearing aid, had a wire going around and this big clunky thing sticking in your ear. And it was just very obvious. It was very obvious. And you know, of course I tried to play it off saying I was, you know, listening to a radio or something, you know. But
biomedic woman.
Yeah, or secret agent man, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But because that was back in those days, you know. But but you know, I will say I think because of it, I was more of a loner because of it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't hear everything that was going on around me, and and I just didn't reach out, and my self confidence and my self esteem wasn't there. And I'm gonna say even through high school, I don't think I had the self esteem and self confidence. And, you know, now that I'm much older and I look back and it's like, wow, I had only known back then what I know now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't want to be any different than any of the other kids in my class, you know, so I didn't want to be singled out, you know, but I tell you what, PE was a struggle. I couldn't see that ball till it hit you in the face, you know. But,
Well, see, you grew up with the blind impairment, whereas I grew up with the hearing impairment because my vision really didn't affect me till adulthood, you know what I mean?
You know,
once I was in the working world. So we both had different experiences, but something that we can relate to.
Yes, yes, and it makes us stronger, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Wow, that I'm older.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Well, and another question I had for you was related with that, with growing up and everything and dealing with their perception, because we all want to be just like everybody else and not singled out to be different, you know, but it is something that we have to deal with. And now I look at it as look at the advantages, you know, rather than the disadvantages.
Because things are so different now than they were, you know, 50 years ago, let alone, you know, even 2 years ago, you know.
So that's just one of my areas is how you deal with things. And ooh, gosh, you've had to have so many adjustments too, that more than I have. And what you're doing now with trying to get the hearing and sight impaired together, I just commend you for that. And whatever I can do to help you, I'm there for you. And I want to bring up trivia night that you've had for 7 years in a row. I think that has been great, and everybody has such a good time. And I do remember hearing your husband call out the questions. And
oh yeah.
And now Brad's doing it, your son, and he's done a great job. So you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, it's not my trivia. I will correct you on that. It is the SASE trivia, and SASE is short for Sight and Sound Impaired of St. Louis, and it is an organization that I started back in January 2009, so we've been around, what is that, 15 years now? Yeah, 15 years, and you're correct. The first 5 years in a row, my husband was the moderator for trivia, and he did a great job. He really did. And we've grown every year with the trivia since the first one. You know, we learned how to improvise things to make them better for the next year. And so, like you said, this past 2 years, my son was willing to step into his father's shoes and do what he can. And he has a lot of the same characteristics of his father, with his great sarcasm and and his way of joking around. And so he did a good job, and I'm very, very proud of him.
Yes, he did do a good job. Yes, but it takes a team to put all that together. The one thing I can say is, you know, when you had a meal at the same time, so now people are saying, well, is there a meal to go with it?
Well,
that was a lot of work.
It was. And it was a labor of love the first 5 years when we had a meal. But then we hit COVID, and after COVID, the first trivia that we had after COVID, it was after my term as president ended, uh-huh. and we had a new president and you know, new board members and so forth, and it was decided that the labor of love is kind of like half. you are so right. It was so much work trying to pull all that together. I mean, and so now I think we've established a new way of just saying, let's just have fun with trivia.
Yes, and I've gone to several of them now, and yes, mm-hmm. it is a lot of fun, and you keep it moving, and I think it's a great fundraiser for you too, isn't it?
It is. We only do one fundraiser every year, and we try to do it in the spring before everybody's off and running for the summer, you know. And mm-hmm. And it's enough to keep us going for the year, you know, because as a nonprofit group, you know, we support our members, but we also give back to other organizations around us, you know what I'm saying, and
yeah.
support other causes. And it's a wonderful thing. And it pulls us all together. It makes
yes.
us unified, you know. So, and then mm-hmm. our outreach to everybody really helps bring awareness to the fact that there is a group for people with both a vision and a hearing loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Great. And how do you do the outreach? Do you go through your doctors or city organizations? Or how do you reach out to the community?
And you mean recruiting new members?
Yes, and let them know what is out there and available.
Well, it's hard because there are so many people out there who really do qualify, but they don't think of themselves as being hearing and visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, our biggest advocators is Beth Jordan from the Helen Keller National Center. She helps us when she finds out somebody new that might be in the area.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, word of mouth mm-hmm. from our local members. You
mm-hmm.
know, they're sharing the word. It's word of mouth, I guess you would say, more than anything else. We have not gone out to doctors or anything like that. It's a labor of love and just sharing of ideas. And I think the whole concept of Sight and Sound Impaired of St. Louis was social networking group. In other words, a peer mm-hmm. support group where we can mm-hmm. support one another. And we elect the board, and you know, they handle all the business. You know, they
mm-hmm.
nobody has to worry about the business. Let's just have fun at the monthly meeting. And that's what we do. And that's what I'm hoping to move forward with, trying to reach out through the state. It's going to be a challenge
mm-hmm.
trying to do, as Chip originally was stating earlier, that we had a conference call last Friday. And in that conference call, I proposed an idea of perhaps starting a special interest group or affiliate within or underneath, you know, Missouri Council of the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And my thoughts now, just because I think one way doesn't mean it's going to happen, but my thoughts are I want to reach out and embrace the sight. Let me rephrase it. Yeah, wait a minute. It's a vision and hearing impaired is what I'm trying to reach out to. So I want to, I would love to see it as sight and sound impaired of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, so we're covering the whole state, hopefully, and reaching out to the so many people out there. I mean, I even heard the other day, like, I never thought of myself that way. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the overall term is deaf blind. I mean, that's what you're going to hear nationally and you know, even locally, you're going to hear the term deaf blind, but that scares people off. It's like, either I'm not totally blind or I'm not totally deaf, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's okay. You have what I like to say is deaf blindness, meaning mm-hmm. you fall underneath it. So it's hard, mm-hmm. but we're going to do our best to reach out.
Yeah, great. Good. Well, you know, I want to back up, focusing on Mary Hale.
Mm-mm.
And going through school, and you said you had retinitis pigmentosa, but you still were driving,
mm-hmm.
and you held down a job. Can you tell us what kind of job you did after high school, or maybe even during high school? I don't know.
Well, in my early years, I was in retail, a retail. But
uh-huh.
then in my early 20s, after my husband and I came back from his Army duties, we ended up moving back to the Chicago area because
uh-huh.
that's where the job just happened to open up for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give it away. Okay, I worked for the phone company. I got a job with the phone company.
Uh-huh.
And I did several things. And the job I had at the time is not what I really wanted to do. But I knew, I was, early 20s. I knew if I got my foot in the door in a major company, I could always, move around, to
uh-huh.
another department or something. So I am so, so thankful I did, because now that I'm retired, I got good benefits from being retired from that company.
Oh, wow.
Way back then, it was Illinois Bell. Then I went to Ameritech. Then I went to AT&T. It changed all
yep.
through the years. But yeah.
Yep. Wow. Okay, I got another hot question here for you.
Uh-oh. I might
Are
have
you
a hot
a
answer.
Cubs or Cardinals?
Uh-oh.
Well, I will say you, I will tell you that while we lived in the Chicago area, the word Cubs was never spoken in my house.
Oh.
Had to be White Sox.
Oh my gosh, White Sox,
White
yes.
Sox were the Southsiders. But that was just my husband. That was my husband. My husband was a big, big baseball fanatic. So yeah, he was white. He was White Sox in the American League and Cardinals in the National League. So we were safe.
All right.
So he got to go with Harry Carey at Cardinals, and then when he went, became White Sox announcer.
Now,
well,
that's not to say all our friends were White Sox fans. Some of them were Cubs fans, which initiated some discussions.
Well, Mary, what about your time when you were living in Ohio? What were you then?
Cleveland Indians.
I'm sorry. What did you say about Ohio? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was asking. What about when your time when you were living in Ohio?
Oh, well, he was still a White Sox fan and a Cardinals
okay.
But I will tell you though, Ohio was a good place for me to begin to find myself. I don't know how long of a podcast we have here, but We all go through our trials and tribulations and grieving periods and so forth. And it took me a while. But I will tell you, in Ohio, I met a lady who was, for the most part, blind and, I'm going to say, 75% deaf. And so she wanted me to come to this one deaf-blind group. And I looked at her and I said, well, I'm not deaf-blind, you know. But I said, I'll go because you want me to go. You know, I went. And that was the first time I ever met other people with Usher syndrome, like myself, other than my sister, who was already off the spectrum. But and then I got to meet, I mean, half the group was hearing deafblind, and the other half was signing deafblind. And it just opened up my world and opened up my eyes, pardon the pun. And, you know, I met a man who was totally blind, totally deaf, and he was guest speaker, and he was doing all the signing with all the interpreters and the SSPs, you know, the volunteers, and so forth. And it was like, wow. And he had a PhD. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, if he can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
And that was the end of my oh well with me. It really was. It really was. And that opened the doors. And of course, me being me, next thing I knew, I was a member at large and I was on the, you know, on the board. And I left Ohio as the president of Ohio Association of Deaf Blind. So I learned so much when I was there. And that's what I wanted to bring with me when I came to St. Louis. When I knew I was moving to St. Louis, I had the two goals, the short-term and the long-term goals. And as I said earlier on that conference call, my short-term was to get a local peer support group going for the visually and hearing impaired. And my long-term goal was to hopefully get a paid SSP program going in Missouri, because I knew it didn't exist back then. Now, this was 15 years ago, you know, when I first moved to St. Louis. And I'm happy to say both of them I was able to accomplish, you know, with the help of many, many people. So I feel like my circle, my world has come full circle. You know what I mean? I feel like I've accomplished something.
Well, I don't want to stop Bev here, but I got to jump in here. So
go ahead, Chip.
Yes. So, Mary, during your time in Ohio, did you learn any skills specifically as someone who has a dual sensory disability? Did you learn the different forms of communication for someone who is deafblind?
No, I'm not
going to
say I did.
No,
I learned to wing it because I was even less tech savvy back then.
Yeah. Well,
and, I mean, yeah, so this was the early 2000s at this point, you know, and I wasn't even on a computer at that point. And, but I did develop my character as being a leader.
Yeah.
I really did. It made me aware of what I could do. And it made me aware of helping other people is so rewarding. And it helped myself in the long run. It's just opening doors for people. It's just so rewarding.
Yeah. Well, I assume, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but your primary form of communication would be spoken English. But I didn't know if you learned Braille along the way, or if you learned the different forms of sign language that someone who is deafblind uses in communicating. So were you able to pick up on any of those skills?
Well, I did attempt both. I did try to learn Braille. This was many years ago. And I just got frustrated with it. And, you know, I just didn't pursue it like I should have. You know, maybe someday, but I still have not gotten back. I'm just too busy to take time out. And then of course with the sign language, I did take lessons, you know, and I went to classes and so forth, and I know the basics, But there were, I learned some not good ones.
Yeah.
Along the way. And I was informed that I shouldn't be using certain ones in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun though. I like dealing with everything with humor, you know, and I whether the good jokes or bad jokes, it doesn't matter as long as you can laugh and laugh at yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Beverly, I didn't mean to take over, so I'll just pass it back to you.
Oh, no, that's quite all right, because, gosh, I'm all over the place with different questions for Mary here, and I'm just so glad to get to know her. As she's talking, I'm visioning a monument of Mary somewhere.
Oh, no.
You have done so much, Mary, and you're such an inspiration for so many others, too, and we are so blessed to have you within Missouri Council, and I can't wait to help you with starting your new affiliate and whatever we can do to help.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope it works out and we get enough people interested. That's the bottom line, whether people are interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there is. I think there's, you're going to have quite a group there. So it will be great. But, okay, I have another question for you. And I don't know if I missed it earlier. Are you a grandmother?
Yes, I am. Four times.
Oh.
The oldest is 19 and the youngest is 2.
Oh my gosh. And are they all in Ohio?
No, 3 of them are in Ohio and 1 here in St. Louis.
My
13-year-old grandson is here. He's my favorite grandson west of the Mississippi.
I love it, Mary. I do that too. You know, I have 4 granddaughters and 1 grandson, and I'll tell him. I said, Jack, you know you're my favorite grandson. He's got it figured out already. Nana,
yeah.
I'm your only grandson.
I did the same thing with my grandson. But for many years, you know, and you know, you're my favorite. And then he always come back, well, I'm your only grandson. And then when my second grandson was born, that's when I had to add in, okay, west of the Mississippi.
Yes. That's great. And, you know, mine have got spring break this week. So I just had the 15-year-old stay the night with me last night. And I asked her when her mom picked her up, I said, so when you go home, what are you going to do the rest of the day? She said, sleep.
Then
I said, is that all 15, 14-year-olds do? Is they want to, they play hard, then they got to sleep.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
She's into ice skating, figure skating. And so she, oh, my goodness. Several days a week, she does that. And she was just telling me, and Chip, I wanted to talk to you about this too. She was telling me she saw where they have a blind hockey team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of bumps in that one.
Yes. I said, is this bumper people? How do they tell? You know? This will be interesting. Mm-hmm. But the things we learn from our grandchildren and I'm sure they learn a lot from you too, Mary, and just becoming stronger personalities too. So
yeah, my 13-year-old grandson has really become a good SSP now. Whenever we go out, you know, he said, "I'll take her." And in the beginning, he's a skinnier guy. So he's got a skinny arm, you know. And I said, "Put that chicken wing down." You know? So now he's automatically sticks his arm, you know, puts his arm in the right place, and he puts it behind him when I'm supposed to step behind him, you know, to go through doors and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I'm really proud of him.
Yeah.
He steps up to the plate.
That is great.
That is great.
Yeah,
but Chip, I'm going to throw it back to you.
All right. So, you're talking about that, Mary. I also have a little
6-year-old, well, I think she's 7 years old now, granddaughter who loves to lead me around. And of course, she doesn't have all the sighted guide techniques down just yet, but she does pretty well. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mary,
well,
talk to us.
It's good that they want to do that.
Oh, yeah. You bet. You bet. So, Mary, talk to us a little bit about how you got involved with MCB. How'd you learn about it and how'd you get involved?
Well, that was back in my days at Ohio. And in fact, it was the same lady that got me to that deaf blind group. Says, hey, I belong to a blind group too. So so the local affiliate there, and at that time it was Columbus, Ohio, and it was ACB of Ohio. So I joined that affiliate, you know, and I stayed there. And then once I moved to Missouri and I got things settled down, I did some research and joined the local affiliate. So I now belong to UWB, United Workers for the Blind.
Okay, well, good. Yeah. I know we don't have a whole lot of time here, Mary, but talk to us a little bit, too. You and I serve on the SSP Task Force together. Talk to us a little bit about the SSP Task Force and what it is exactly that we hope to accomplish.
Well, first of all, Chip, I hate to do this publicly, but it's not the SSP Task Force. It's the Deaf Blind Task Force.
Oh, thank you for that correction. I seen it somewhere that it did say the SSP Task Force.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for that correction. Yeah.
And, you know, I also had to correct other people the same thing, because it's the whole purpose of the Deaf Blind Task Force is we are there to kind of, once we get settled, we're still trying to set the task force up because of the fact that we were not in existence for a while. And so we have to kind of pull all the info together and make sure we're all on the right page. And by all, I mean the task force, the Missouri Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, and VANCRO. And what the task force is there for is to be a place where the deafblind consumers and or SSPs themselves, it doesn't matter. Anybody's part of the program, if they have a concern, complaint, or suggestion, whatever it may be, and if they don't feel comfortable going directly to VANCRO, which is the agency that manages the SSP program, and or if they don't feel comfortable going directly to the Missouri Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, because they're the ones that oversees the whole thing, you know, the task force, VANCRO, the whole program. So we're there kind of like the middleman. You know, if you have a concern and you don't feel comfortable going to either, you know, the commission or the VANCRO, come to us and we'll see if we can help you. That's going to be our responsibility. And I am very proud to say that we have, I don't even know how many, what do we have, about 7 people on the task force?
Yes, yeah.
And I really think that of all the people on the task force, I really think all of us have it in our hearts to do what we can to help help promote and help the SSP and the deafblind move forward in a positive direction to keep this SSP program, you know, going. It has helped so many people. And I don't think people realize just how beneficial it was going to be until they got involved with it.
Yeah.
And pardon the pun, but it is an eye-opening experience, because the SSPs are the eyes and ears of the people that they're serving. I mean, just for an example, I mean, and I know most of us have experienced this. You know, I can go to a medical doctor appointment and I would have an SSP with me. I'm just going to say I have an SSP with me, and she guides me up to wherever the registration desk is. So, of course, hey, you got somebody behind the desk, you know, what's your name, blah, 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 you know. I can't hear a word they're saying, you know, half the time, or I can't understand it. So I have to look at my SSP and say, what did you say? You know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're there for the communication aspect. there for the help with transportation, yes, but that is only a small part of the whole overall part of the FFP program.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly right. That's so true. And Mary, I know you're probably pretty modest about this, but you were really one of the individuals that was really instrumental in getting the SSP here in Missouri, because I know you did a lot of legislative legwork to make that happen. And so, we owe a lot to you and the work that you did, and those that were surrounded you to support you and doing all that. So we're really happy and grateful to you for getting that started.
It's my passion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bet.
It's my passion. So serving the visually and hearing impaired is my passion. That's what I do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I know, Bev, we have just enough time for one more question, so I'll turn it back to you.
Okay. I don't know where you have time for this, but what hobbies do you have, Mary? Sit down and, I'm sorry?
Yeah. I would say hobbies. I just listen to books and listen to music and listen to podcasts. Yeah, that's my me time.
good. We need me
all
time.
All the other things I do. Yes, that's my me time.
Okay, when you're listening to music, do you dance?
No. I am not a good dancer. You don't want me on the dance floor. and the same goes for singing. You do not want to hear me sing.
Oh, I love it. But yes, we do need our me time. And sometimes I feel like I'm sitting at the computer too long and I just need to go out and work in my garden. You know, I tell the neighbors, I said, I'm out playing in the dirt again. we need our me time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I should ask Chip, what is your hobby, Chip?
Oh, I guess my hobby, I don't know if you could call it a hobby, but I really like browsing iTunes. I love going through iTunes, looking for music for, I do this 90-minute internet radio program, weekly internet radio program, and I just love music so much, and I always love listening to new music, trying to locate new music, so I guess that would be my one big hobby.
Yeah, and look at that. That's we have good. That in common, the three of us. We love our music.
Yeah, it's,
it soothes the soul. I think there's a song about that one, too.
Well, I tell you what, though. I tell you what, though. Now, having a hobby like what I do, it costs a lot of money. And my wife's like, why don't you find another hobby?
Yeah, it's like going out and playing in the dirt.
Well, Mary, I did want to ask you too before we have to close, and I meant to ask you this a moment ago. I thought the Missouri Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing was also going to have in its name Deaf Blind. Do you know anything about that?
You mean MCDHH?
Yeah. That they would include in the name Deaf Blind.
I really don't know. I know other states have done that, but I really have not heard anything. That would be a good question that we can bring up to Becky the next time we see her.
Right. Well, I know Mike Kelly, a good friend of mine, former legislator, had called me one day, and they were in a meeting, one of the council meetings there with MCDHH. And he asked me what I thought about it, and I told him. So he shared it with everybody. And then I know that the previous executive director of MCDHH, she said that that's what they were going to do, that they were going to incorporate and include deaf blind or deaf blindness in their name. So I'm just curious if you knew anything about that.
I would love it if they did, because I think that would help.
All right, so Mary, my last question, what is there about Mary Hale that nobody really knows except those that are closest to you?
Well, there was a time in my life when I was young, dumb, and blonde. And I was in my early 20s, and as I started to say earlier, and I almost blew it, I started working at the phone company.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get it, now this was during the days of affirmative action. This was in the 70s. This is when mm-hmm. they wanted men to do women's jobs and women to do men's jobs, you know, just
mm-hmm.
standing. Well, I became a lineman for the telephone company. I
oh
my gosh. Telephone poles.
Oh my gosh.
I could just hear you swinging in a swaying to Wichita lineman then. Listen, Glenn Campbell.
There you go. And I was the first female lineman they had in that garage. And oh my gosh. What I learned. Now, this is back in the 70s. Now, some guys were accepting from me, some were not.
Uh-huh.
So I knew who to trust and who I didn't. But you know what? I have to add this other funny story to it. During this time frame that I was, and this was for 5 years I was a lineman. So for 5 winters in Chicago.
Oh my goodness.
But anyway, so while I was a lineman, my husband was working for a railroad company, a manufacturing company, and he was working outside with the crane operator. So he was, they actually called, the nickname for it was a hooker. So
uh-huh.
we used to go around telling people, now my husband was 6'5 and, you know, over 300 pounds. So he was the hooker. And here I was, this 5'3" lady, the lineman.
Oh my gosh.
We had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
Oh
goodness.
Five years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in Chicago. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I climbed a few poles. I only fell off once. Only once.
Oh my gosh, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I tell you what, Mary, I really wish we had a lot more time, but we may just have to bring you back for another session. That's
uh-oh.
All there is to it.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, because,
with improvement. You know, let's do it after we get the special interest affiliate going. How's that?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
Mary,
just we want to thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. You've been so wonderful. And I know I know everybody that listens to this podcast, this episode is going to love it and get to know you a lot better. So thank you for being our special guest today.
Yeah,
thank you,
Mary.
And I hope it brings a smile to everybody's face.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
thank you much.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, Mary. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody that you would like for Bev and I to interview, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Bye-bye for now.